Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you are watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
You open my eyes.
You have opened my eyes. You have opened my eyes. Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy
praise wherever you are.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is my joy, privilege, and pleasure to come on Friday mornings to our Friday Fellowship of Learners. I'm so glad that you've come to join us, and I thank you for your faithfulness and for your presence here this morning. It is a blessing to be able to share the Word of God with those who love God. And we thank Him for this opportunity and for writers that are so creative and songwriters and musicians and all of the individuals that release their giftings into the body of Christ that bring us to a deeper place in God, that reminds us of the relationship that we have with God. It explains sometimes in words that we don't think of the expression of love and gratitude that we have for Him. We are very grateful for those who can articulate the experience of faith and of this relationship and journey with our Holy God and our Savior and Holy Spirit, because it is an extension of us, and I am grateful for that. It's like the song that opened the way and expressed my heart's cry. Holy Spirit, we love You. We labored and lingered in the sevenfold Spirit of God. And it was such a refreshing joy, such a powerful journey, such an enlightenment, revelation, and experience, and bringing His presence into our life as being more real than the very air we breathe, understanding that He is there, and He is there in this dispensation of grace to bring us to the place of perfection in our relationship with God, to guide us, to correct us, to teach us, to comfort us, and to be the God in us that is extended from us to those around us so that our Father might be glorified and that our Savior might be lifted up. And so when we understand and we lingered in those truths, we don't want to just leave them where they were, where we laid the book down, but rather we want to carry them around in our mind and our new way of thinking and a new way of emotions being expressed through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our understanding and our knowledge and our wisdom, seeking the counsel and the fear of God, desiring and possessing the strength of God. And so we continue our journey with further illustration of the realness of God and his presence in our life as we look at the secrets of the vine. The secrets of the vine. We had looked in great detail with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. And now we're looking at the relationship that God has with us in a rather intimate setting, or rather in an intimate positioning, closer to him, coming closer because Holy Spirit has been able to give us the understanding and the counsel and the guidance. And so as we, sorry about that, as we are understanding, or as this picture or illustration is shown to us of this intimate relationship that God has with us, and the fact that this was the last lesson, if you will, that he released to his disciples on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he wanted them to understand what the next level of relationship was going to look like, what the next level of involvement was going to look like between us and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he used the vine, the grapes, the growing of grapes, that whole industry, if you will, of a vineyard, to give us an illustrative look at how and what things would look like, and so that we would understand and be able to embrace and identify the Father's work in our life. It starts in the 15th chapter of John, and we haven't done that with this book, even though we did it with the Abide in Christ. But I think we want to read that 15th chapter. Excuse me. The 15th chapter of John, because we want to get this whole picture in our minds and refresh our minds of what this whole dissertation was that Christ gave to his disciples. We want to make sure that as we look at it now anew, afresh, that we can see the things that God wants us to glean from it, and then be able to respond to our Father as we should. And so I'm going to read the vine and the branch from John 15th chapter, and I'm going to read it from the Message version of the Bible. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear fruit, and every branch that is fruit-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you join with me and I with you, the relation, intimate, and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separate. You can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood. You can't produce a thing. Dead wood gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciple, I've loved you the way my Father has loved you, making myself at home in your love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what done. Kept my Father's commandments and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that your joy might be, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember. I chose you, and I put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. So that is the message that our Savior gave to his disciples on the way to the cross. And as we listen and read these instructions, and they're more than instructions, but these are intimate secrets that he is sharing with his disciples of how he made it and how we can make it as well. And so in that, we have learned some of the process of the vine dresser and the branches and the leaves and the things that he does. And so we are realizing as well that this process is coming from a loving Father. This process is being initiated by a Savior who, and a Father who is a good vine dresser, and his whole purpose is so that we may bear more fruit, because we were created, chosen to bear much fruit. And when he says every branch in Christ gets pruned, we know that the vine dresser is at work everywhere in the family of God. We also realize it happens to everyone that belongs to Christ. And so this is not something that is just going to be random, but every branch, and think of that, every branch, the Father is constantly checking and reviewing and looking at and examining and cleaning and lifting up and pruning. And so we realize the difference between that lifting up, discipline to remove sin that is in our life, and the difference between that and pruning, which is to make room for the more. And in order to make room for the more, we realize that this is one of the secrets of the vine. As if your life bears some fruit, then God will repeatedly intervene to prune you so that you will bear even more fruit. Part of a devotional sharing I want to read today as well is that since every branch in Christ is pruned, that means it's everybody. It's going to happen to everybody. We know that the vine dresser is at work everywhere in the family of God. So one of the things pruning lets us know is we are a part of the family of God. Sometimes we may not feel that way. Sometimes we may feel that we are so far from Him. But it shares with us that this is a process. It's a procedure that's a part of God's commitment to us, and He will always do it. Here we some common focal points of the reasons that Christ is, that God is pruning us. It's like the priorities in our life that need to be rearranged. Attachments that weigh us down, values that were acceptable when we were younger but aren't now, busyness that may accomplish much but not what matters most for your destiny and your purpose in life, the relationship that diminishes our impact instead of enlarging it. There are some relationships that we may have, and not that they're bad, but they're just not the positive relationships that will impact our destiny. And so we are called to look at, or actually God prunes those things from us in many ways. But we are to, that these feelings that we have when these things start to happen sometimes are discerning because we're just not sure. And that's one of the things that the message that Christ gave them was to encourage them to know it's okay. This is being done because God knows your destiny and He is perfecting you. And so our prayer is, you know, pruning is God's way of making room in our life for more of what matters most. And sometimes we just want to settle for what matters, but not what matters most. And that's one of the things we received in this teaching of the Holy Spirit. This is getting us to a place of abundance. This is getting us to a place of a more intimate connection and position with God. So as we cooperate with Him, we find ourselves shaking our head sometimes, not over what we have left behind, but at the wonderful results we see flourishing all around us. So often when these things come or fall from us, are taken from our cut, are pruned out of our lives, then we're able to see things that we never had to be able to even imagine before being produced out of our life. And so the confession of a leaf lover in our day 16 in the devotion is turn, this is from Psalms 119, 37, and 38. And I love this psalm and this prayer, which has become my prayer. It's like, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. So So we have this fear of the Lord. We have this wisdom that we're seeking, this knowledge and understanding, so that our eyes can see those things that will remain. And so there are many things that have a positive influence, but they are not eternal based on what God would have us release in the earth realm. And so as we look at John 15, it makes it clear that our Father, the wine dresser, loves his chosen one, us, too much to ever let us go to waste, to ever let us waste our time, to ever let us settle for less, to ever let us be satisfied with the mundane, but to seek the supernatural. We read and we studied that prayers that bring about supernatural results. We read about those things that are our inheritance to do these great things that we can't even imagine. God is constantly at work in his vineyard, helping us produce the biggest crop with the fewer leaves. So we realize that the leaves, as related to the grapevine, make the vine look very lush and beautiful. But the leaves take up space from the new shoots that would produce the grapes. And so this must be pruned. And think of those leaves as those things in our life that often they're good things that deplete energy, time, and talent. God is trying to get us, trying to get more sap to these areas that produce fruit by cutting away what isn't necessary. That involves surrender and relinquishing on our part. And that's where discomfort can come in. We're reluctant to lay something down that feels important to our happiness, and often important to our journey, often something that God has gifted us with, blessed us with in ministry, and it is what we're doing in ministry, and it was exactly what he wanted us to do in ministry. But there comes a time when he has more that he wants to bring forth from my life. So what we have to do then is to trust in our Father. It's true, yet thankfully not the complete truth. Here is what is meant by our confession of loving the lead. It's easy for us to mistake activity for results and busyness for meaningful pursuits, rampant foliage for a overflowing harvest, because the trees can be the look and the leaves and the branch and the vine can look very luscious, very beautiful, overflowing. But the fruit that it is to produce is not at its optimum. The truth is that the more of us hardly realize we're leaf lovers until we become fruit lovers. So we don't realize the value of the fruit because the harvest looks so beautiful, or the foliage looks so beautiful. But when you actually come to get the fruit from the vines, then the harvest is not as it should. After all, leaves and new shoots are part of flourishing. You know, those that planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And there is a flourishing that is a beautiful one, but there's also one that is going to be deceived or got received as we allow ourselves to be pruned. Yet once you and I start bearing fruit for God, then we understand the vineyard better. So once these fruits start developing, once we start developing the love and the patience and the long-suffering and the kindness and the gentleness and the peace, once we start to understand this, the fruit that will come from the vine, we realize how much more powerful they are, not just in our life, but in the lives of those around us. And it also indicates that there was so much more that can come out of our life that the vine dresser had to prune in order to get it, which makes him a good father. We often say God is a good God. God is a good father. God is a great vine dresser. He is committed to getting us to a place of full harvest. We realize that less unnecessary foliage means more sap going to the fruit, and more fruit is the real prize of our life because it glorifies our Father. Perhaps you can make a similar confession today. The appeal of the leaves never quite seems to go away because it still looks good. Sometimes it looks kind of scrawny when you're looking at it having been thrown back, that ministry that we were doing, and he has moved us on from that. And when we look back, you know, our life kind of looks like it's got gaps. And, or not look back, when we look at our lives, it seems as though it has gaps in it. And it does. But in those spaces, in those places that he's cleared out, he's able to out of us even something more valuable and more beautiful. So we may shirk from the pruning shears, but we have been redeemed and chosen for a life of strategic impact and significance for God. In this amazing passage, Jesus shows us that we are being cultivated every day so that we will take a harvest of lasting value into his presence in eternity. Listen to Christ's exciting destiny for you and me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So even when Christ told Peter, James, and John, leave your net, he was inviting them to leave one kind of harvest so that they could prepare for another immeasurably better harvest. And why? Because they were chosen to be leaf growers. They'd never be able to capture their real destiny in a mere fishing net. They were chosen and appointed for fruit that remains. And so are we. And so our prayer today is, Lord, show me what area of my life are producing mostly leaves instead of fruit. Show me the things that are crowding out your best and lead me toward true fruitfulness. And this was very impactful for Overseer. And I realized that at this point, I had to stop. This is what that pruning, think of it as the shift. This is the shift that's taking place. This shift is shifting from leaf bearing to fruit bearing, those that are bearing more fruit and then much fruit. When you just look back over your own Christian life and you can see how you were saved. You may not have been bearing fruit, but you were saved. You were a part. You were chosen, and you received. You surrendered, and you became attached to the vine, and you were just there receiving in your rawest form. If you just think of a twig with no life, no color, just being engrafted into this powerful vine. And as the flow, excuse me, from the vine went into your branch started to be transformed. And that's what's happening. And that transforming happens, and it happens over many, many years, and it takes many forms because we realize that sometimes there are sins that we are practicing that the vine dresser has to discipline us from, and so that we will release it and then cooperate with his agenda for our life, if you will. And so there were times you had to make adjustments to the things you were doing. You had to give up things. You had to give up people. You may even have to give up churches. you have to give up a path that you were on that was not the one that you were assigned to for your destiny, that became a crossroad, that became a point in the road where one went one direction and the other went the other, and you had to allow Holy Spirit to guide you to that road that was meant for you, and you received that guidance of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. So now you are in that vine. You are bearing leaves. You are bearing leaves. You're becoming lush. You're walking in obedience. And now it becomes a point of growth and development where the shoot of the sap, the shoots on your branches that are developing based on the sap or the blood or the life of this Christ that's flowing through you starts to create this wonderful bud. And when you see it, when we saw it growing, we became very excited about it. When we saw that we had a word of knowledge we could give, we had a word of knowledge that we had the silence listening here. And then at that point, it was a beautiful thing. We had leaves and we had fruit, and we were excited about that. We were so excited. And what happened was this fruit became, now the leaves became lusher. We were flourishing. They were developing because the sap was flowing. They were developing and they were looking beautiful. We were in ministry. We were dedicated. We were excited. We were very, very energized in ministry. It was new. It was exhilarating. It was touching the very core of our spirit. And we were just awestruck with God. And we loved it. It was a new thing. It was no longer that scrawny-looking branch, but now we got these leaves. And just because of the leaves, okay, there were buds that started shooting up, forming these glorious fruit, wonderful fruit. It wasn't as big and as lush because the leaves and the work that we were doing sometimes overwhelmed the fruit that came out of us, which we see when we get frustrated in ministry sometimes, when ministry becomes laborsome, but we push ahead anyway, when people become difficult, and we love them, and we are servants to them, but sometimes it gets to a point they become heavy, and then it becomes a thing that is a burden, literally a burden. It's like we're dragging this burden on our back, and it slows us, the fruit down that would come forth from us. And then sometimes that ministry is just, it's glowing, it's marvelous, it's awesome, and we're getting the accolades, we're getting the reputation. People know us by what we do for God. We're doing this for God. They know us by what we're doing for God, but they're not getting the most out of what we're supposed to be doing for God. because it's something that's become comfortable. And so we can produce it purely out of just habit. And you do something for so long, you get kind of good at it. And so no longer is it totally depending on the sap coming from the vine, okay? And so that's when it becomes a place where he has to prune us. He has to cut certain ministries and activities and people from us to give an area of our life time to stop and to go before him and to seek the direction that he wants us to do. No longer are we satisfied to be good at something. What we're desiring is to do the good for him. And so now we have to seek, what is it you would have us to do? And so, as I said, this is something that really was impactful for Overseer. And I actually wrote in my journal, which I don't do often because I find it or I'm so busy doing other things, which is when I realized, okay, stop. If I'm too busy doing other things, that's what he's talking about pruning. You know, I should not be too busy doing stuff, you know, my responsibilities for God, and I'm too busy to do God. Okay. And I need to stop. I need to stop and allow him to prune some things. Take some things away. Prune them back. Now I can't even find where I wrote it. But it became a process that I realized this is what I need. This is where I need to go. And sometimes it's kind of scary. Okay. It's kind of scary because you become familiar with where you are. And that's when I realized I didn't know it was scary until I realized, suppose this is what he is pruning from me. Will I cooperate with him? Will I see and understand the reason that he's pruning? The fact that pruning won't, they saying that it won't last, but the fact that it is to produce what he wants, what he needs. He's rearranging, and I even thought, I said, he's rearranging my priorities. And the book said, no, he's totally changing priorities, not rearranging. He's getting rid of priorities, getting rid of priorities. And it's like he is getting rid of things that weigh us down. Sometimes some of the duties that we've taken upon us, they weigh us down. They keep us from our true time of meditation, time of coming before him and studying and in searching the scriptures and being available to hear his voice, because there's so many other voices going on, or our voice is going on. And it says a value that was acceptable when we were younger, when I was in other ministries or at another time, it was totally acceptable. It was what he wanted me to do. But now that is not where he is leading me. A busyness that may accomplish much, but not what really matters eternally for those that I am created to minister to, those that I am to be a blessing for, those that I am gifted to reach out to, and relationships that diminish our impact instead of encouraging it. And I realized that some of the things that diminish our impact is associating with people that are, not that they're like-minded, but they're in the same place that I'm in, where I need to obtain to those that are in a, have gone this way and they're ahead of that, so that they can teach, so that they can reach back and be a role model, so that I can look and see another way or the next, what it looks like for the next step in the process without having a fear or that confusion of, okay, is it that I'm doing the right thing, or is he disciplining me? Excuse me. Of being frustrated, I just don't know what he wants. What is it? What's going on? And one of the things it shares in this relationship, he always wants us to know what he is doing and why he is doing it. Now, it's like, okay, I know why. Yeah, I know why. It's so to bring more fruit from me. You know, I don't know his methods. One of the things that became clear is like, whatever it is that we feel, when I say God wants me to know where he is pruning me. There may be some places I'd rather him prune this, but he needs me to understand where he is pruning me. And I may, you know, I thought, well, how will I know? And it's like the pruning, we read, because there'll be pain there. And so one of the things of the pain, it may not be a physical pain, but it is a an intrusion of an emotion that is not positive. And so that can be painful. And I thought of it, I remember periodically in this last season, 5, 6, 7 times, 8, 9, 10 times, that I can hear one thing, and I had that pain. And so I realized it's because how I was reacting to that one thing was the place that God wants to prune. He wants to prune that. And in knowing that and remembering these things, then it made it very easy then for me to have the prayer of, I don't know in what book, but anyway. Anyway, I was trying to see which book had page 77 from my notes, but anyway, from my journal. But the whole point is that I became aware of, so now he has gotten my attention because he's been fooling me. And the first thing is, oh, my God, what will I do without that covering, that wood covering that was the leaves and made it look lush and flourishing? It looks raggedy now, you know, and looks, you know, bare. You know, it looks different. People want to see that difference, and then they're going to judge me. And you go through all of these emotions. It's like, and that may be true, but I will have the joy because I know this is the hand of the Father on my life, and I rejoice in that. And I am so, not anxious, but I am so excited and in expectation of what fruit is going to develop. I know that he's at work. I trust the work that he is doing. I know he is doing it for my good, and I know that it will be a benefit to others, and I know that he will be pleased. And those are all the things that matter when we feel the pain of the person. So I want to stop there, and the lines are open. And so you've read and you've studied, and I'm sure you've had your moments. And if you can share them, that would be marvelous. That would be marvelous. So good morning. Good morning. Talk to me. Talk.
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning.
It's just so much in this book. It's very interesting. That's all I can say. I was trying to find. I may be too far ahead, though. You know, just in thinking about the pruning, you just, it makes you wonder, okay, well, you know, how do you identify what he's trying to, you know, prune? I know I just heard you say that about him mourning or pruning me from something. How do you really, you know, identify that? Or how did you really know?
Well, you know, that's a wonderful question. Because that's what I asked, well, how do I know? You know, and he, the Holy Spirit, that's what I say, when we stop and we take time, he said, what pains you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't let him pain me. But, and that's why I say he showed me like 10 different instances when I heard something and I had a response to it that I really questioned myself, okay? But it wasn't a positive response, okay? It was almost was a response that was like humiliation. And so that's why I was saying page 77, thank you, Lord. It was under that that when they shared the thing about David and they, when he went to Nabal's to get some food, and Nabal told him no. He was that hit him. That struck him because probably the way he said it as well, and he refused the request. Well, for David being a leader, he was trying to get food for his people. It was a humiliating rejection that he wasn't used to. People were always very positive and very accommodating because he was helping them. He was saving them from the enemies, him and his army. And so now his army was in need, and he went. And someone telling him no. And so it was a direct hit to David's sorest point. And that was that place that God showed me where my sore point is my pride. Not to mention David's confidence, his sense of fairness, and his identity. It enraged David, and David set out to fight this man. And we know what happened in Abigail. But that one explanation that the author gave of the emotions that David was experiencing, it hit home for me. It was humiliating. And it was a rejection, a humiliating rejection, but it was really just in my mind. However, because of my pride, and not to mention my confidence, your confidence in a ministry that you've been doing, you know, and then here comes somebody else wanting to do it, and you're going, well, what about me? You know, so that's a source of rejection. And God is saying, what about you? I want somebody else to do it now. So now I feel humiliated. Okay, well, I wasn't doing it good, or you didn't like what I was doing, or now people prefer someone else to do, and da-da-da-da-da. And it was like, no, none of those things. That is the emotion we feel, and that's how I knew that's what God had to prove. And I'm going to share with you because it's very interesting. When Apostle was giving out the assignments that Saturday, and it's usually who's on her team talking about my team? Well, no one. It's like, okay. And then, but this was the beautiful part of it. I was on your team. And I really got excited about that. And that's when I knew that in all of the, what was leading up, all the pruning leading up, to now I'm under your training. And, you know, and I have to be in a place where, because sometimes, and let's be real, if I'm there, I'm on the line and go, well, you think over here? It's not me. This is you. This is you. This is yours. You have this. And I'm going to glean from you. And that's not a position that I'm in often. And so at first it was uncomfortable. But now when it ended up being you, it became comfortable because God had already established a ministry relationship with us. And God is just so perfect in what he does. And it has nothing to do with pride. It has nothing to do with rejection. It all has something to do with, you know, laboring with someone to bring about the glory for God. That's what our time together has always been. And so then I began to be able to compare other, you know, relationships and situations and and start looking at those situations. And so this became very liberating for me. And so I had a couple of people interviewed that have these ideas about some areas that I work in or where I've been the leader of, just be for real. And it was like, okay. Then I'm thinking, okay, hang on. Okay, but then you think, as a Christian, okay, am I about to die? And I am. Sooner or later, we all are, okay. But more than that, we're supposed to pass things on. We're supposed to, you know, establish what was good in that season, and then someone else is going to bring a whole different perspective because, first of all, it's a whole generation, new everything, and it's okay. And so that's where I had to understand where the fruit, no, where the pruning was taking place. And so it may look like a scrawny, you know, my life was very full and lush. Let's put it that way. Okay. And actually, I felt like it was getting too lush because it wasn't something that I felt the fruit was too small. It wasn't producing the kind of fruit that God deserves. And so now I'm able to step back because of the pruning and understanding the pruning and then get excited about what's next, what's coming, because he already said it's going to be even more fruit. I have no idea. Then we sat at a meeting yesterday. You were there. And when I started realizing what was being shared, this is shaking up a century of stuff just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's in God's corner, then they take it out. Then it's back in God's corner, then they take it out. And God is taking it out. He's taking it out. He's taking it back. And we're in this. I don't know how. Because you follow an apostle, and it is definitely been the path of her life and even the word on her life. So it's that kind of thing. That's how we know when we prune it. You're no longer sitting in the sideline. Now you're being pushed up to stand, you know, and sometimes you don't want to, and or you don't think you can. And I don't say you don't really want to. You're not confident in doing it, and yet the confidence has to be in Christ. And when we get to a point where, you know, it is not me anyway, it is Jesus. And so that's how I knew. And one of the words that kept resounding in my mind was, I don't ever want my life to not be authentic. And when I've gone beyond what God wants, it is no longer authentic. It is fabricated because it's me doing it. It is not me allowing him to do it because I've been doing it so long, I'm comfortable in it, and so I have a ability to do it kind of whatever. Even I say that because it's like, it's just so exciting. Just because you can see what he's done, even in the fact that I can't walk. Even in those areas, just being a part of my pruning, that I want to say it limits me to the point where I have to depend on him. and I have to depend and look to others and work in ministry with others. Because probably if I could, and when I really could, I'd do it myself. You know, and what somebody didn't do the way I wanted to do, I'd do it myself. But all my times, I've always had to, you know, one thing, you've always been there, and it allows what I do to be authentic, because it's not mine, it's his. And I will acknowledge that. I want to say share it. It's more than share. I must declare it so that people know, you know, like somebody said, oh, no, you know, that's the overseer because you know how to do it. No, I don't. But God does. And he's the one that does it. So what you see is not me. It's him. You know, and so that's how he gave me the revelation, plus the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to correct me and to, let's see, what we're saying, the Holy Spirit to correct, and then guides and counsels me, you know, in wisdom. Look at this. This is that, and that's not it. You know, that's going in a bad direction. That goes to almost the point where it's flesh and those people that get into positions, and then they think more highly of themselves than they ought. I'll put it that way. And so, and do that, then you're not authentic. You're not authentically who you say you are, you know, who God says you are. You need to get developed and flourish to be that. I believe that's what he's establishing. So that's how I knew. That's how he felt. It was very liberating, and now before I do anything, it's like, okay, is that something I'm supposed to do? You know, I'm asking. You know, I'm not just going to assume, you know, they're going to say, well, overseer, do it. I go, nope, he didn't tell me. That was my journey. That is my journey, because it's not over. Well, I hope that wasn't just fabulous, but made sense to you.
Yeah. He was the first on page 80 in the textbook. He was saying, you know, when you count a lot of, you know, at least I've talked to different people, and they said, well, why am I not married? Why am I this, that, and the other? And so he was saying in here that God may be asking you to give up your right to be married, to have mm-hmm. children, or to achieve a particular kind of success. God may be inviting you to follow Christ without the support of your closest family members, possibly even enduring their hatred and rejection because of your faith. So he is pruning closely to what really matters to you, not to take something good from you, but to become Lord of all you desire. And when I read that, I say, that is deep. That is just, gracious. You know, and you don't look at God in that sense. You know, you don't see him through your eyes in that sense that he would, you know, because it just seems like that just goes against what I've read, you know. So then, he says, at in another area, he's about the pruning and the testing. He says, at such times, we can feel like God has deserted us, or that if he's in control, then he's pushing too long and too far. Yet these are times of great promise. Our character and spiritual commitments are getting hammered out.
Yeah.
And as we come to the end of our power, we encounter the beginning of God's power. If we allow God to work, our faith will grow in ways we never thought possible. And he talks about the weightlifter. He likes to compare the faith testing, faith building process to what happens when you're weight training. And you train beyond what you can handle. And he says, 10 press bench presses to the point of exhaustion. When his spotter adds 50 pounds, at that point, Ken is no longer lifting what he can handle. He's resisting what he can't. That's what
yeah.
it takes to build strength. I need to win.
Yeah.
So he says God sometimes grows our faith like that. After all, if we don't face new and even more difficult challenges, we don't need a greater level of faith. So God pushes us over the line. He allows circumstances to take us past what we can handle, to teach us what God can handle through us. So when I read that line, I read it again.
Yes.
He allows circumstances to take us past what we can handle, to teach us what God can handle through us. I say, oh, my goodness. And he says our faith grows dramatically because we really, at least I don't, but I haven't looked at it in that sense, you know, that what he can handle through me, it's me, what I can handle. I never thought of what he can handle through me. But, you know, you have to, okay, now, Lord, you know how much I can handle. You know how much I can take, but you never look at it as through him. Him through you. So I find this secret of the vine is saying a lot. And it makes you think. It, you know, just speaks to you in a language that you may not have, or you haven't heard it put in that manner. If I'm saying it right. So it's a lot, and it's very fruitful, and like, you know, some of the other books that we've gone through, is something that, you know, you need to go back to.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful insight. That it really is, it really shines a light. And his process and his method is enlightening. Understand it is very liberating. Very liberating.
Yes.
Very comforting and very empowering. And it really does demonstrate or describe, or I don't know what you want to call it, give us a better understanding of the love of God for us and the commitment and the covenant that he's made and how he doesn't do things the way we do them, okay? And the way we do them, how the enemy has so permeated our thinking that the way he does things, we naturally reject until Holy Spirit gives us the comfort and the direction and the understanding. And then, and that's when we only through the Holy Spirit can we become open to even understand the Father, understand the wine dresser in his most powerful form or in a new level. than where we were before.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes so against everything that we even basically learned in church, you know? So, on a beginning level, you know, and that's all we could have learned then, and I understand that, and it's a part of the process, which is probably why then in that same environment, or maybe that one, but in a spiritual environment, when we learn something else, that's when it becomes a conflict. You know, that's when it becomes a crisis of belief. You know, I thought I believed, you know, but I only believed on a certain level. This is belief on a different level because it's a greater revelation of who God is. And that level, you got to believe. Like you were saying, it's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of, I had never seen this before.
Right.
So, yes.
And even when he says, is God asking you to release something to him, either literally or in your heart,
yeah,
to know where you are in this process, ask yourself how much of what's mine has God already asked for, and have I given it to him?
Yep.
And he says, here's a testimony to the goal of mature pruning, that you will finally be so surrendered to God that everything you now love dearly, even worthy activities and goals, will be let go into God's sovereign keeping. And what remains in your grip is one passion, one goal, one unhindered opportunity to
bear
more fruit.
Yeah, that's it. And that's where that authenticity comes for me. And it's at that moment that is what I desire, is to be authentic. You know, to have, God has it, and all I desire is to bear more fruit, much fruit for him, because you know, he took the time to prune me. I mean, you know, because a lot of people don't want you pruned. They want to see you look lush. They don't care if you're producing exactly what all you could, but it looks good. You know, that's that, you know, I got a big church. You know, we may not be evangelized the area, but we throw the best parties and the conferences and the da-da-da-da-da. It looks good. And I'm not saying those people aren't doing what they're supposed to. That's not what I'm saying. But it's just that in our judgment, that looks good. Now, the church that's struggling on the corner, you know, but at night in the street, you know, they're saving souls right and left. That don't look that good, okay? In our, you know, mindset. You know, well, I just soon, you know, I don't mind saving them. You know, we got to go out in the street. You got to, you know, go where they are, do, you know, whatever, whatever. And that looks different, and it doesn't necessarily look inviting. Even though, you know, even when you have a heart for people and you want them to be saved, you want them to come to church and be saved. You know, so it's like, and that's not going to always be the case. You know, you go where they are and they get saved, and then they'll go where God wants them to go and be and do. So, yep.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So it's a lot in these little books.
Yep. We're both on the same page. We're on chapter 8 now, right? Or day 8, or whatever they call it.
In the little book?
Flourishing. Oh, 7, right? More of God and more with God.
That was day 6.
Yeah, so this is day
8. Okay. Day 8?
No, 7.
Day 7?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about day 7, but that's going back to a book we covered already, and it And it's very good as well. The abiding, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
All right. So, all right. Put everybody on speaker. Sorry. I had taken people off speaker. So I didn't know if anybody else wanted. Yeah. Amen.
So, what is that? He's saying pruning, how you respond makes all the difference. You can complain. You can rebel. Compromise.
Yeah.
Or you can run away.
Yep.
Or you can accept the joy, comfort, and rest that comes to this two disciples who keep their eyes on the prize, not the pain.
That's it. Yes.
Yes.
Eye on the prize and not the pain.
Uh-huh.
Yep. That was it. Yes.
Okay, man. Yes.
Yeah, it opens it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did anybody else want to comment? Questions? Insight?
All I was going to say is earlier was that it gives you a new way of thinking and not your way, but his way. And it was just good. Very excellent.
Yes. And that's how our minds get transformed. From the old to the new.
Yes.
This is new wine skin. It's new wine skin. It really is. Yep. Yes. And that's another teaching. Go ahead. And when you have a new way of thinking, things look different and better. They really do.
Yeah.
Because it really is in your mind how you're going to respond to the things that you see and hear. You got a new way.
And you would never look at that. And I would never... Oh, I've never looked at that divine in the way that he has brought it, you know. My mind would have never gone in that direction pertaining to that particular scripture.
Right.
You know, the pruning and the way that he explained it and brought it out. I would have never thought of it ever.
Mm-hmm.
In that
right.
Sense, and he's drawn such a informative picture of, you know, what it really means and looks like.
Yeah,
it just really, you know, causes you to look at your walk with God differently, you know. Very interesting.
Yes. And it's interesting too that the abide in Christ was just a step to the secrets of the vine, because as you say, that it wasn't brought to us like this in abide in Christ. So now it's all the details of that habitation in that vineyard. You know, before was the purpose and that's what, but now it's the detailed working of the day-to-day activity that goes on in the vineyard. That is really amazing. And an insight as to how we look at it and what we think about it and why. And so that always helps in us being able to share the vineyard life with other people, you know, or even to bring insight when they, you know, are talking about, you know, things that seem to be taken away from them, or they used to and now they don't. And I remember how difficult it was for Apostle when she stopped having the sexual relational healing retreat. And she was really laboring to make sure that is what God told her, because everybody was saying, oh, no, you can't stop. You can't, you know, something that you feel it's a good thing. It was helpful. It was powerful. Why will you stop? But God, it was God's agenda, and she heard it. And so she had to get in line, actually, with the pruning. That was a pruning for her. And it was, on some level, I would say, humiliating, only in that, you know, people made all kind of conjectures as to why, and, you know, all, you know, negative things. And rarely was it positive, rarely. But it was definitely a pruning that she had to endure. And actually, we did too, because that meant we couldn't go there, we couldn't do that, and, you know. But then we started doing more things. And it was reaching more people more of the time, more often. You know, so just God had he has a way. You know, so when you think of things like that, you know, and you have a response to them that often isn't a good one. You know, instead of saying, no, you can't be right, oh, why is she doing this? Was like, Lord, show us next. Show us, you know, what's next? What fruit are you designing? Help us to cooperate with you. Because trust me, it would have been easier for Apostle on a physical level to just go with the people and have another one. However, she knew on a spiritual level that was not going to be what she did, because I think you really realized, not really, she knew that the only way the conferences happen is God. So if God said no more, then it was no more, because there was no way she could do it, because there were too many miracles involved, too many supernatural things that God had to put in place in order for one conference to happen. You know, so when it shifted to an experience, you know, people didn't embrace it like they did the SHSR, healing, whatever, retreat. But that's just that's a major kind of pruning that everybody saw, and everybody responded in some way too, and most of it was not positive in the beginning. So that is tremendous warfare. Like when it says you got to leave your family and your, you know, your job and your this and your that, and, you know, you even leave those things that, you know, became a buzzword, just, you know, Apostle Shanette and the sexual relational healing retreat. You know, that became, you know, I won't say famous, but, it, you know, she became known for that, and people had the testimony of the power of God doing them. So, yeah, that pruning, is good to understand it now.
Yes, and we get the principles, the important principles of it, pruning occurs when we're doing something right or wrong. It's initiated by God, not us, and is intended for our benefit. It's custom suited to one individual in a specific area of life. It's applied only to a branch that is prepared to respond successfully. It's usually applied indirectly through other people and circumstances, brings discomfort or stress. But if the branch cooperates, new levels of abundance result. Pruning is only as effective as we permit. Fighting against the process will eventually divert us back into fruitlessness and discipline.
Yeah.
Pruning often goes on longer than we think is fair or necessary, yet deep and repeated pruning always means a greater harvest ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hallelujah. All right. Marvelously wonderful.
Yes.
So, almost look forward to, what are you going to prune? So that we can cooperate, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I know. Jesus. Yes. All right.
Yes.
So be blessed. And I think we got to, well, don't forget the Pastor Linda's is Father's homegoing is tomorrow. His funeral is tomorrow. And Apostle's birthday Sunday. Well, the Apostle's birthday is tomorrow. But the church will celebrate on Sunday with a gift card treat thing or something. Bring our gift card. He's going to put it on a tree and present it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray everybody got a chance to give her a message of love via video or whatever they were doing. So we want to celebrate our apostle. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to tell her, you know, I don't know how many years it is, but whatever, 55 years ago at 2 in the morning, da, da, da. You know how your parents always tell you the story of the day that you were born? You know.
I don't know what I want her to still be 45.
No, I know she ain't 45. That I do know.
I don't know.
But I'm not sure.
She'll be 45.
Let's see. She,
maybe 50. But I don't know why I'm thinking 45. 50.
She'll be 55.
Are you serious?
55.
Yes.
Huh?
It don't seem like it. It don't seem like it.
I know. That's very. It doesn't. Actually, it seemed like a whole nother world ago, quite frankly. Like, it wasn't even me. Oh, it wasn't her. But, yeah, 55 years ago.
Oh, man. Yes,
that is. Really, really. When you start thinking about your kids in spans of decades, you know you almost. Okay.
Yes.
Well, all right. Be blessed and be a blessing.
I will talk to you.
Be blessed.
This evening.
This evening at 7, correct? 8, okay.
Somebody
but I
got to try to figure something out. I got to call you so we can get Elder Deborah.
Oh, right.
Oh. So
well, maybe we just have to email her.
I was going to see if Nita could connect me on Zoom. I called her last night, but I couldn't get her. So I'm going to call her, see if she could get me connected up on Zoom. And I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
You too.
God bless.
God bless. Okay, he took the whole time. Oh, just kidding.